Welcome to Eat the Scroll, a University Fellowship Church podcast. My name is Chris Moore. I am thrilled to be here with you wherever this beautiful, melodious, timbered voice finds you in your daily life. You there, listening right now. Yes, you. I'm pleased you're here. We do this twice a week. We chew on God's word, give you a peek behind the curtain into the mad machinations of our minds and our hearts and our fingertips so that you can be encouraged. And this time we have Lion Guard Helpensberger.
There is always some kind of ard.
Yes.
In my name.
Dutch or German.
Yeah, I don't even know, yeah. Man. It's like hamburger helper in there. Helpsburger.
Helpsburger. Lou Hines.
Yeah.
Welcome, you lovely creature.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Your wonderfully mysterious mind is always at work.
Yeah.
Just swirling.
Sometimes at 2 a.m. it feels like this. Yeah.
And you've come to give us just a glimpse, only so much as we can handle, peeking into the abyss of Lou Hines' psyche.
Pandora's box.
Yeah. But yeah. I want to know, Lou, what are you chewing on? What do you want to talk about? Well, what'd you bring?
About 5 minutes ago, we were trying to figure out what we're going to talk about.
That's too deep of a peek behind the curtain.
And we had the idea of talking about theology and the proper use thereof.
Bludgeoning.
Beating someone over the head.
Yeah.
With my own beliefs.
So that they can be a part of my team.
Yeah, because that's how you win people.
So what is theology, Lou?
The study of God.
Okay. Solved it.
Great.
It's easy.
I think more broadly, and we've talked about this too, but everybody's a theologian because everybody has thoughts.
That's true.
About God. Doesn't matter. I mean, hopefully your thoughts are well thought out, or, you know, you spent time thinking about these things.
Most of them aren't.
Yeah. I mean, I would say the same thing for myself as well.
Oh, I was talking about the other. Oh. For me, they're all very well thought. No, but lots of them are taken for granted for sure.
Yeah. And so we all have thoughts about God, even if we think that God doesn't exist. That's still a thought about the object referent mm-hmm. of God. So, yeah, we're all theologians on that level.
Yeah.
Most of the people probably listening to this, though, ascribe to like the Christian belief.
Yeah.
And thus they get their thoughts about God from the Bible.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Lots of tradition, lots of mm-hmm. radio, TV, articles, books,
sure.
pop culture. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of is some of the point of what we're going to discuss today of
yeah,
what is the purpose of it? How come everyone's theology seems to be different? What mm-hmm. do we do about this? Mm-hmm. All through the lens of like how not to do it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, how do you do that well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my first question then is there one true theology?
Well, we have talked before about the difference between dogma, doctrine, and opinion, right?
Yeah.
In the three concentric circles, the essential being dogma, mm-hmm. and I would say Trinity and the person and work of Christ.
Yeah.
That's essential, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have doctrines, and the doctrines are what make up different denominations. Mm-hmm. And that's great. That's wonderful. Denominations are not inherently sinful or evil. It's just there are ways of demarcating belief, delineating. This is what this camp believes, generally speaking, mm-hmm. right?
But Lou, we all have the same Bible. How come there be heretics out there not believing what I believe?
Well, that's a big question. I think part of it, and this is what has fascinated me about scripture and the way that God has chosen to communicate to mm-hmm. us. Language is inherently flexible. Mm-hmm. And it can be shaped, distorted. Things can be taken out of context. And I just find that fascinating.
Yeah.
That out of all the ways that God has chosen to create humanity and the act of communication, he's chosen speech and then more specifically the written word, mm-hmm. which has come down to us from an oral tradition. Specifically the Old Testament comes out of oral tradition, and then the like letters and occasional writings of the New Testament.
Yeah.
It's like, that's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
And so, and even well-intentioned people look at things differently. I think that's just because of the ambiguity of language,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And all of that. So that's why really brief nutshell and super, I mean, not diving into it at all. Like you can have the Bible, but mm-hmm. different beliefs about yeah. things, right?
So how come everybody doesn't, how come, is it okay that they do that?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's okay.
Well, it's
they believe differently than me, Lou.
We were talking about, okay, so how do you do theology well?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that's kind of like what your question is getting at. And I think one of the overarching principles that marks Christian maturity is love, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anything that we do, and even in the realm of theology, should be marked with love and care and respect and without vilification.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that should be the hallmark of Christian debating, for lack of a better word,
mm-hmm.
on matters of theology. So that even a watching world be like, oh, these guys can have intelligent conversations without chewing and ripping each other's heads off.
Yeah.
Which, frankly, we haven't done well.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Most of the debates I watch are like round table style.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not so much the aggressive, direct.
Yeah. But I think so often we can focus on the disparities.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have not followers of Jesus who are like, you guys can't even agree on the same thing. And
right.
It's like, well, if we actually focused on what we do agree, it would be quite a bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Certainly.
So
then my next question is, do the distinctions matter? Are they important? And what are some mm-hmm. of these distinctions? Tell me, Lou. So for our listener and for my smooth brain, what are some of the distinctions so mm-hmm. we know kind of what we're talking about?
Well, I think they do matter. And I think part of it is in the eye of the beholder, because mm-hmm. some of these things are big deals to other people
mm-hmm.
and some things are not big deals to other people.
They should be.
So case in point. and it's like one of them, and this is a pretty big one because it has theoretically practical implications, but like Calvinism versus Arminianism.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, we could make the oversimplification that there's like two camps, and this has been the way it is for centuries, you know, like these two camps.
Well, there was only one when Paul wrote Romans, but...
And as a you are a Calvinist speaking,
got him.
You would say that, yeah.
Oh, that was good. That made me. I'm pleased.
Except I don't think that's what Romans 9 is talking about. But well, anyways,
potato, potato. So Calvinism, Arminianism,
yeah,
continuationism, cessationism, baptized babies, no baby baptized. These are all distinctions that yeah. we would say don't delineate believer from non-believer.
They're open-handed issues.
Yeah. Yeah. We're still brothers in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
So far as the what did you call them? The doctrines
mm-hmm.
are held true.
Dogmas.
The core dogmas of the mm-hmm. Christian faith are held
mm-hmm.
true.
Mm-hmm.
And these other things. So yeah. you kind of answer my question. They are important. Why are they important? Is it just based on personal preference? Is there like a conviction that somebody should be aware of as they approach these things that might frame up how they mm-hmm. pursue answers on baptism or gifts or, you know, whether you're a Christian or an Armenian.
Yeah. I like how you did that.
I'm going to get in trouble on this episode.
They are important, but I think it's, to keep in mind that it's important to a point.
Yeah.
And that point is when we stop treating each other with respect and love, and mm-hmm. and we start pushing people out of the Christian camp because they don't have the same exact beliefs about doctrine, the open-handed issues.
Yeah.
And we can make smaller things such a big thing, and we cause unnecessary fights and disagreements.
Right.
And I think it shows a lack of maturity mm-hmm. to not be able to talk about our differences, you know? Yeah. Like, differences don't have to separate us. And mm-hmm. in fact, differences can highlight and be a good, spur for good conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
Examination, sharpening,
sure.
all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, though, our identity becomes wrapped up in this and this and this,
mm-hmm.
or we fear that if this isn't true, then that changes like my whole belief schema, like my whole thing. And so we hold on tightly to these things out of fear, because
mm-hmm.
what if it's not true?
Right.
And that's a scary place to be in, for sure. If you've always believed, like, let's say Calvinism, just because we're all, you know, we just keep using that as the example. And all of a sudden, after 30 years, you're presented with a case that is like, oh, maybe that isn't true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that means that I have to change my mind after 30 years of of living according to this way,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's scary. And I could see why then there's emotionality
mm-hmm.
that comes into play.
Yeah. And like you alluded to earlier, some of these, Calvinism and Arminianism mm-hmm. Included, certainly have practical ramifications.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a result of this belief that changes living,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that can have a pretty negative impact.
Or positive.
Well, yeah,
I just
mean like the process of disassociating from that and associating with a new
tumultuous.
That can be disorienting.
Yeah, for sure.
One of the things that I think of too, which you're pointing to, mm-hmm. is just the centrality of the unity of the body of Christ
mm-hmm.
and how, mm-hmm. you know, many of the letters in the New Testament were written regarding unity or included the idea of unity, and how important that is for us. And we don't, I mean, maybe why don't you help us understand how our secular culture does not support unity as like an important value. And it promotes division, those kinds of things.
Yeah, I guess are you tying it into just the individualism that we experience as like Westerners?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, individualism, us them mentalities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, build the self up at the expense of the other, those kinds of things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it is true that we can build our identity on what we are not, and that usually then comes at the cost of the other. And then that creates like the us them mentality of like, and we're the right ones. And then that can create things like echo chambers where we only listen to like the people that we agree in. And that just mutually like creates this, like mutually reinforces it and creates this feedback loop. And then we can start vilifying them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, this is especially true every 4 years.
Tell me more. Oh, yeah, political.
yeah,
for sure.
Election years or,
yeah.
you know, you've got a president has to make a decision. Everyone wants to weigh in. And it's either their opportunity to take shots at the other guys or to defend their guy. And and you end up isolating and alienating
mm-hmm.
family, friends, complete strangers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting how we can very quickly make one political party the right one, and we couldn't believe how a fellow Christian could vote the other way.
Yeah.
You know, and And that is making just an incredible distinction that was never, and I know that our political system was not in Paul's mind, but nonetheless, the thought that politics would divide Christians.
Well, that's why they didn't let tax collectors become Christians. But like, really, we're not baptized into Republican.
Yeah.
We're not baptized into Calvin.
Right.
We're baptized into Christ.
Yeah. Yes.
And so that to me is,
yes,
is the central thing. And when somebody looks at theology, because I do believe doctrine divides, I think truth divides. And so, you want to delineate the essential from the non-essentials and treat mm-hmm. them appropriately. Mm-hmm. But when we mix those categories up, mm-hmm. then it can become a wedge that is not appropriate and mm-hmm. was never permitted in Scripture. Like these were not central ideas that should have made an us or them mm-hmm. distinction.
Yeah. And this is above my pay grade, and I don't,
which is medium.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. But like how, I think part of the problem is as a culture, we've lost the ability to have debates or mm-hmm. conversations like around intellectual matters. That could be religion, politics.
Yeah, hysteria is a currency, and it is a moniker of validity.
Your passion, how passionate you are about something. Yeah,
yeah. If you can maintain composure in an etiquette, mm-hmm. then you obviously don't care as much mm-hmm. about this thing. I mean, I've even been in conversations. I'll be transparent with you, listener, and Lou. Corrective conversations mm-hmm. where I am not overwhelmed. I'm mm-hmm. not emotional about it. Mm-hmm. I receive the correction. It's mm-hmm. fine. And then they feel the need to amp up mm-hmm. because I'm not producing the emotional response mm-hmm. that they're looking for.
Right.
So we have this strange attitude towards mm-hmm. how discourse happens.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can watch it in my 4-year-old for sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's going to get attention if she screams. She's going to get what she wants if she's the loudest. Mm-hmm. Those are big blank statements. I have a really great 4-year-old. So don't get any ideas, you guys. But kids in general, mm-hmm. rudimentary tools.
Yeah.
Seems like we've gone back to that.
Yeah, it is really interesting that emotion has become the sign of truth. It's kind of what you're saying, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Which obviously we would know that that's not the case.
But, any like rational human being, I think, would agree with that.
Yeah, but we've lost the ability to talk about things of depth. And I think of, that brings to mind like Martin Luther mm-hmm. and nailing his theses to the wall.
Yeah.
And that... We sometimes think like, oh man, what a revolutionary thing to like, I'm going to take all of my objections and, but that was just like how you had public discourse.
That was a normal thing.
Yeah.
He wanted to debate.
Yeah. He just wanted to talk about it. Yeah. So I'm going to do this thing. Then sometimes we
get out of hand.
Say what?
I said, sometimes they get out of hand.
Well, yeah. But they're able to have that debate. But if you like in a public forum, said like, I want to have a talk about, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
The validity of Calvinism. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yep.
And if you do that the wrong place, you're like, how, you're not even allowed to question mm-hmm. sometimes the beliefs of the institution mm-hmm. and the institution being, it could be anything.
Yeah.
Church at large or your
whatever
particular
space you're in.
Communal church. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. I mean, if you've ever had family over that was outside of your immediate family for mm-hmm. a holiday, there are topics you cannot bring up. Because mm-hmm. chances are somebody outside of your immediate family holds a differing view than you do mm-hmm. on some issue, mm-hmm. and that will poison the water hole. I mean, that will sour Thanksgiving in a fat hurry.
Yeah. But it's like, why, how have we gotten to that place as a culture?
Right.
And I don't know the answer to that mm-hmm. question, but I do find it interesting.
Right. And Christians are by no means exempt from that. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the whole point of the discussion today is doctrine, mm-hmm. theology being used inappropriately mm-hmm. can mm-hmm. produce a lot more damage and abandon the unity in Christ.
Yeah.
And there are totally legitimate reasons to for theology to be a wedge to determine truth from mm-hmm. lie and those yeah. kinds of things. But those are not the issues we're talking about. We're talking about the more open-handed question. Yeah.
And I would say another way that we handle theology inappropriately is to divorce it from practical application.
Yeah.
So just as I was thinking about, okay, how do we have conversations around theology? I was...
We divorce it from practice. That's how we don't have that.
Say that again.
We divorce it from practice.
From practice.
Just, you're making the point.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we can't we can't have these conversations about theology because we've divorced the practice from our theology.
Yeah, well, that's true.
We've lost our love and our unity and our...
Yeah. Well, yeah. Compassion, okay, I follow patience. You. I guess I'm also thinking, too, of like, it didn't take long for the church to have a debate about something. Acts 15, mm-hmm. when they're yeah. debating. And it was a debate, and it was a debate about something of practical significance, and that was like circumcision,
yeah.
which to be a part of the community of God, the family of God, a man had to be circumcised. Mm-hmm. Like that was a big deal. Like yeah. in our culture, like whatever. In their culture, big deal. Okay, so for one, it shows that they were able to have a conversation. And they were able to have a conversation about something of paramount importance.
Totally.
And people probably got heated. There was probably emotion. It's not.
Yeah, they weren't robots back then.
Yeah.
Apostles were people too.
But nonetheless, they sought to act in wisdom. They listened. They talked. And they still held together as followers of Jesus. And I would imagine that there were people there who at the end of that debate were probably still like, I think that followers of Jesus still need to be circumcised, mm-hmm. but that's not the way the whole group went.
Right.
Right. But the point also is that it was a practical need mm-hmm. and a lot of the debates that Christians have had over time, church history has been over like a need, like we need to now define this.
Right. Yeah, they came up out of immediate mm-hmm. issues that they were facing.
Yeah, but and when we're told to do theology in scripture, it's for the purpose of loving God and loving others mm-hmm. better. It's not just so that I...
Brain candy.
Yeah, and I know that there are people who are more nerdy, quote unquote, and get into that kind of stuff, and that's not wrong, mm-hmm. but it definitely should tie into how you live your life and have...
Well, what do they say? Good theology should always produce better worship.
Yeah, and I would define worship as right living.
Totally.
Not just, yeah, what we do for an hour.
Yeah, not singing on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Like our lives as a living sacrifice
yeah.
to God.
Yeah, commitment to Him, obedience to Him.
No slight against singing.
No, none. If it doesn't... I would say, man, if our theology doesn't produce a greater love for God and neighbor, maybe you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, that'd be a really great plumb line. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which may not even mean that your theology is wrong, but you might be doing theology wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
You could yep. have right theology and be the guy at the end of the argument going, yeah, look at me go. Like, yeah. I won because I was right.
Yeah.
And yet you totally missed the whole point. So... I think personally, Lou, that we've solved it. Yeah. We fixed theology.
There you go.
Everyone's a Calvinist now?
Nope.
Got him.
Wait a second. Have we solved it?
Well, I haven't listened to anything you said, so I'm going to bludgeon you for 30 minutes.
Perfect.
Oh, I should be Calvinist.
I would love that.
No, I think that's hugely productive. And I think that if we spent some time really examining who we are in Christ, mm-hmm. as the central starting point for how we live and how our attitudes should be towards each other, the implications of that would be immediately that we have a distinct unity in Christ, that to treat somebody who's bought and paid for by the finished work of Christ, mm-hmm. The way that we can sometimes treat believers who view things differently, mm-hmm. Would be would be a grievous smear on Christ himself.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't like that word, smear.
Smear. Smudge?
Oh, it's a fine word. there's like words that like trigger a revulsion.
Uh-huh.
That's one of those words. Anyway.
So listener, hopefully this has been thought provoking for you. It hasn't been rambling of two madmen. You will begin to think about those around you, how you communicate and how you treat them, specifically as it pertains to secondary or tertiary theological issues. And always, whether you disagree or agree, be able to treat them with compassion, with humility, with patience. Those are all non-negotiables from God's word. So nobody is given a free pass on those, whether it's Thanksgiving and it's your brother-in-law who voted differently on the primaries, or if it's an Arminian or a Calvinist. There's turds on both sides. Anyways, I'm going to end this podcast. Thank you, Lou, for coming along this journey with me.
Yeah, glad to be here.
don't lie to our listener. All right, we'll get you on the next episode. Bye. Well, thanks for listening. Thank you to our guests for coming and sharing what they've been chewing on in God's Word. We produce these podcasts and release them twice a week, so please subscribe so you don't miss out on one. And don't forget, love God, love your neighbor, and make disciples.